And the main thing is the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. If there's ever a time that we need the word of God, it's the day and age in which we live in. And we need to be faithful to that. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah 32, for sake of time, I'm going to be reading quite a bit of Scripture today as we go down through the message. But I want to just read one verse of Scripture in verse number 27. And I want to speak to you this day on the subject of the God of the impossible. And I tell you today, sometimes we're faced with the impossible. But I tell you, we serve a God in heaven who is able to meet every need that we have. The Bible said in verse number 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Let me just read that again. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to come together this morning. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the privilege that we have to open and to proclaim and to declare. And Lord, to realize what God has to say to us and for us. And Lord, I pray today that you would anoint me with your power and your strength and your help. Pray that you'd give me wisdom. And Lord, help us today as we look at the Word of God. And God, again, we thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. We come to the book of Jeremiah, and I love to preach out of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah became one of my favorite prophets when I was in Bible school as I began to study him. One thing I noticed about him, he was called the weeping prophet, and oftentimes he wept. There was oftentimes he was discouraged, but yet he had reason, and I believe right, if anybody did, to get that way in his life as far as being discouraged. Jeremiah preached in a very evil time period. The backdrop was very evil. The people of God had walked away from God. And I tell you today, I don't know of anything that is more devastating or tragic than to see people that have put their faith and trust in God, believed on Him, to turn their back on Him and walk away from Him. But that's what Jeremiah was dealing with, and these people had gone back to their pagan gods. And I know today we don't live in a society that worships idols, and we don't build idols that we bow down to. But in our life, we've obtained things that have become our idols and things that we worship more than we do God. And how that must break the heart of God today as He looks down upon us and He sees, even in our society, a very wicked, wicked nature. We could take time to read, and I'll not do it, but later on, don't do it now. But when you get home, if you'll read Jeremiah 32, verse 28 through 25, you'll see the character that is seen in the people there in the time of Jeremiah. Because of their sin, God is bringing judgment upon His people. And I want to tell you today, it's a time when God brings judgment. It's a time of sorrow. It's a time of pain. It's a time of death, and it brought into an atmosphere, and here's Jeremiah preaching the Word of God, but yet proclaiming to them that they're going to be judged by God. Nobody likes to preach on judgment. In fact, a lot of preachers have gotten away from preaching the truth of the Word of God. They're afraid they'll offend someone. A friend today, I'm not worried so much about offending anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't mean that in a careless way or an ugly way. I thank God for you today, and I appreciate it. But we have a responsibility to obey God and to walk in His will. Now, Jeremiah was sent with a message, and God always gives the message. I'm glad today that I don't have to preach from my life experiences. I can preach from the truth of the Word of God. Life experiences have been great, and they've been an encouragement and a help along the way. But Jeremiah was sent to a people to preach the message that God had told him to go preach, but yet he was going to a people that did not want to hear the message. I think sometimes, and I'm grateful for those of you who are faithful to the house of God, and we come to the house of God, we ought to come to hear the Word of God. And if we come to hear the Word of God, we ought to come in order that our lives might be changed and made better for God. And yet these people did not want to hear the message. They did not want to repent. In fact, today, most people, and I've said this often, I've tried to counsel with people and help them and tell them what they need to do in order that they might be faithful to God and serve God. But when you tell them what they got to do, they don't want to do it. And most people today that hear the Word of God don't want to hear what God has to say. He was sent to a people that was given over to their sins, and God was about to bring judgment. Jeremiah preached in this climate for some 50 years. And the best of our ability and the best of our knowledge, we have no record of one convert anywhere that we find in his preaching. Friend, you talk about being discouraged. I tell you, that'd be an discouraging place to be. And yet, even in my life and in your life, we often get discouraged. But can you imagine if God sent us to a people, a rebellious people? I've had a wonderful ministry, and God's blessed me to be pastor over 40 years, and some 43 or 44 years in the ministry, and I'm grateful for that. But I want you to know today that overall, it's been a relatively easy time. I've had some problems along the way, but nothing real serious or bad. I've been able to pastor some people that desired to hear the Word of God. But sometimes you get some that do not desire to hear the Word of God, and it makes a difficult road to hoe. Jeremiah preached in a tragic time in the nation of Israel. He was sent to preach judgment. Everybody said, "Preacher, I tell you, tell us about heaven. Tell us the wonder of heaven." And this morning I could just have me a grand old time telling you about heaven. But I'd be foolish to tell you about heaven and not warn you about hell. Because judgment is going to come upon a nation that forgets God and turns their back upon Him. He was sent to a people to let them know that they angered God. And not only did they anger God, but they were going to be punished for it, and they needed to receive the message that He had. He was commanded to tell them that they were going to be invaded, that He was going to tell them that they would be taken away captive. He was going to tell them that their final judgment was going to come with them being delivered over into the hand of the king. You guess by now, Jeremiah was not a very popular man during the time of his ministry. People did not want to hear. In fact, according to Jeremiah 32:1-5, he was arrested and thrown in prison by King Zedekiah for preaching the truth. I tell you today, I don't know how our preachers would react if they got arrested for preaching the truth, but no preacher is worth his salt if he's not preaching the truth of the Word of God. And today we need to be willing to stand and literally, if we have to, even die for the things of God. Understanding today that God saved our soul and gave us eternal life. Here's Jeremiah in prison. He's languishing there. No doubt he's going through a difficult time, all the emotions that was running. But during that time, he writes the passage of Scripture that we're going to get to in just a minute. And he does that, and we find that in his time of sorrow, God came to him in prison and gave him hope and blessing and promise. And friend, I submit to you today, the same God that ministered to Jeremiah will minister to you and I in times of trouble if we put our faith in Him. I know we're living in tough times. We talk about it. The times are rough spiritually. I tell you, basically, the times are tough economically, although I'd say today economically we're probably better off than we have been. But listen, it only takes a day to change the scene. The times are tough for the church. Never in my life have I experienced anything like this. I lay awake at night and I think about what the church was a few months ago, and I think where we were, and I don't say we've lost the church, and I don't say we've lost the Spirit, because you're here and God's still blessing. But I'm saying it's sad. We see what's taking place. And it's not just this church. There's some churches have it worse than we do. Brother Joe was telling me some church literally out in California was passed a law or something, said they can't even sing in church. Friend, I'm telling you, it's a dangerous day when they tell us we can't sing and preach in the house of God. Times are tough for families. Many have lost their jobs because of COVID. Times are tough for individuals. Times are just plain tough. But I'm glad today that God is the God of the impossible. And what we cannot do, He can do. And what we cannot do for ourselves, God is able to do in His self and in His power for you and I. I want to give you three things this morning quickly. Beginning verse number 30, chapter number 32, we're going to look at verse 17. We notice some things about the God of the impossible. Here's what we find about the God of impossible. We find, first of all, Jeremiah's confidence. Friend, I tell you today, you may lose confidence in me. You may lose confidence in our presence. You may lose confidence in the senators and all the people that rule over us in authority. But friend, there's one that we ought never to lose confidence in, and that is the Lord God, because He never fails and He never makes a mistake. Jeremiah presents the evidence he collected about God, revealing that God is the God of the impossible. We find in the Word of God that Jeremiah found hope in desperate times by thinking about the nature of God. Friend, today, this world was not made for us to live in forever as it is down here. This world was just a passing through point to give us the opportunity to turn to our Creator and trust Him for the salvation that He's able to provide for all those who will call upon His name. We find that He said in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, of course it talks about the Lord, well, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake you. He said, Jeremiah's foundation came in confidence in God. I tell you today, as much as I want to help you any way I can, you cannot place all your confidence in me, because I'll fail and others will fail you. But friend, God will never fail, because He's the God of the impossible. First of all, He considers God's creation. Look at verse 17. He said, oh, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out Thine arm, and there's nothing too hard for Thee. Boy, when I read that, when I think about Jeremiah considering the works of the hands of God, and understand as we serve Him, if He was able to create the universe, He's able to control the universe. And if He's able to control the universe, He's able to do whatever He desires to do according to His will. In Genesis 1:1, perhaps is one of the greatest verses you'll find in the Bible. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Friend, there wasn't no big bang theory. There wasn't nothing that we just all came about. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how anybody in their finite mind could ever think that this world ever came to being without a God. It's only a God that could do the intricate things that He did in providing the very nature that we have, and even in the birth of a child and the things that goes on, that we must go back and understand that God is all His glory, reveals all His power. Friend, if He could create this universe, surely He can take care of us. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. Can I say to you today, God's controlling everything. I tell you, we're living in some very unusual times. In fact, I don't know if most of you heard it or didn't hear it, but this morning there was an earthquake, a 5-point-something earthquake in South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee. And Ms. Jones said that Cindy called and said that it shook their house. It was very scary. Friend, if you read your Bible, it tells you the last days, perilous times are going to come. And there's going to be all kinds of things. And I don't want to get off on a tangent here. I want to stick to my message. But I'm just saying, God is in control of all things, and He knoweth what our needs may be. Isaiah 40:12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out the heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? In Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Jeremiah said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rest in the confidence that I have in God, that He's the God of the impossible. No matter what it is that I cannot do, no matter what it is that I cannot straighten out myself, I can depend with confidence that my God can do anything. He considers God's character. Look at verse 18 through 20. He said, "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name." He said, "Great in counsel, mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day." He said, "Man, am I not only confident that my God's able, but I'm confident because of his character." The Bible says the language Jeremiah uses to describe him, he says he's a God of grace. Thank God for grace, aren't you? He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of provision. He said, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." He's a God of power. He's a God of miracle. He's a God that moves the heavens and the earth and suspends the very laws of nature, if necessary, to meet the needs of the children of Israel. We think about it when he provided for Elijah. We think about it when the three Hebrew children were in the fire. He protected them. We think of Daniel when he was in the den of lions and he spared him. We think of the widow of Zarephath when he came along when there was nothing left and he provided her needs. We think of the 5,000 that was there the day that the disciples were gathered together and they needed food and he fed them. We think also of the disciples in the storm. And yet God came and said, "Peace, be still." We think of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus when Lazarus had died and there seemed to be no hope. But yet God came and brought the hope that they needed in their life. Oh, I tell you today, I'm not giving up. Listen, that poor man on the back of the bulletin, don't quit. You'd be foolish to quit on God. I tell you, with the very character of God as it is and the very nature of God as it is, God has never changed, and God is still the same. God possesses everything it takes to get you through this life and to take you to the next one where you'll be forever. And then, I got to move quickly, but he considers the conversion. Look what he said in verse 21, 22. He said, "And has brought forth thy people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt, with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. And has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey." Now listen, here's Jeremiah sitting in prison. And I tell you, I don't know, I've never been in prison. I'm thankful for that. But I tell you what, I can only imagine what it would be like to be in prison. But here's Jeremiah, and he's sitting there, he's taking inventory of his life, his ministry, and what he's doing. He considers it the fact that he has confidence in God. Confidence, why? Because he knows what God did for the nation of Israel. He led them through to the promised land and the place that he would take them. He delivered them from Egypt. He took them out of being bond slave. He remembers how the Lord brought them out of the land of Canaan. He writes of how the Lord demonstrated his power to save his people. God's power to save gave Jeremiah confidence. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, I'm grateful for the Word of God. I tell you, when I read and see what God did of old for the children of old, it sure encourages me that the same God that did for them will do the same for me if I put my faith and trust in Him. This should be the same for us. We think of God making the world. We think about God making everything in it. Think about the confidence we have that He's a holy, eternal, infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. God condescended to love the likes of sinners like you and I. I think today of how it's amazing that Jesus died for me. I don't understand it. It's hard to comprehend. But thank God by His grace He did. When I contemplate His love, I realize that if He can take a black heart. And he can put the red blood of his son over it, and it becomes whiter than snow. God can do anything. And that gives me confidence to know that if my God is able to save me, and if God's able to save you, you understand that God is still able to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And then second of all, not only did Jeremiah's confidence in God, but we see Jeremiah had a crisis. In verses 23 through 25, look if you would, verse 23 and 24, at the problem he faced. And the Bible said, and they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou hast commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Let that sink in. Friend, when you disobey God, you cause all evil to come in upon you. Look at verse 24. Behold the mounts, they are coming to the city to take it. The city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. Here's people that are being blessed by God, but they refuse to walk in the will of God. I don't have time this morning, but I'm telling you, America has been blessed by God. I tell you today, over the years, I go back and I look where we're at today, and I remember where we used to be, and I remember the pride we took in America, but it was because of the blessings of God and the hand of God. Yet it seems like evil has come. Could it not be because we've turned our backs on him and will not hear what he has to say? Jeremiah is perplexed by what he sees happening around him. It brings him to a time of crisis in his life. But he understands God said this is what's going to happen. And friend, the Word of God is filled with everything that we're seeing today. He may not spell it out as we know it, but I can tell you today the Word of God is being fulfilled day after day as we see the evil come upon our land. Jeremiah was a holy man living among some unholy people. Israel was suffering for their sins, and even though he was a holy man, he was suffering right along with them. Somebody said, I'm sure glad we're not going through the tribulation. I am too. But I tell you, in this world, there's going to be tribulation. We as Christians are going to experience some of that. I don't care how strong you are or how well-grounded you are. This can cause problems in people's lives, trying to live a holy life among an unholy people. And I tell you today, more than anything in all my life, I wish today that we could see holy people stand firm in the things of God and follow God and be faithful to God and serve God, rather than being overtaken by those who are unholy around about them. It bothers me too that we can lose the freedoms we have. But I want you to know, we got to understand that only God can help us get through the problems we had. I believe today God's judging our nation. The people of God will suffer right along with it. As our economy suffers, we'll suffer. As morality and wickedness grow, the church will be affected. Add to the fact that Satan will see to it that God's children are hated and attacked and persecuted. And by the way, it's happening. And you'll have a recipe for a spiritual revival. If a person is not well grounded, there's always the potential for them to fall by the wayside. You know, I thought about it. One day Christ is coming back for his church, the bride of Christ, without spot and without blemish. But I wonder, I used to think how glorious it was going to be. And it's still going to be glorious for those who are part of it. But maybe not as glorious as we thought it would be, because many maybe not be a part of it. The plan Jeremiah followed, look at verse 25. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Now, after Jeremiah is thrown in prison, this is strange. He's thrown in prison. He's been preaching against all the evil. And God tells him to go and buy a piece of property. Now, if you go back, we can read verses, chapter 32, verse 6 through 12. It describes all that. And the Bible said the word of the Lord came to him. You know the story of his uncle, and he came with the thing. But this transaction caused Jeremiah some serious moments of doubt. He's preaching to people about God's judgment coming their way. He's telling them that their nation is about to be destroyed, and all the people are about to be taken away as captive to Babylon, yet God tells him to go and buy a piece of property. Boy, isn't it strange that God would tell you to do something seemingly kind of not right, but we know God's right. Why do you buy property in the first place? Most people buy property plans for the future, right? They buy it to build a house, raise a family, plant some crops, or whatever it is they want to do. Maybe they want to build a house. Maybe they want to start a business. Maybe they want to invest in the future. Or just something to have to pass along to the next generation. But Jeremiah is commanded to buy a piece of property in a place where he's preaching judgment and the nation being destroyed. And it brought a moment of crisis in his life. When God works in ways,